Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to unlock the combination to your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum,
Living Out Loud.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's going to be an interesting one on Breathe Life Now. You can catch me on my website, Dr. Frieda, D-O-C-T-O-R, Frieda, F-R-I-E-D-A, .com, and you'll learn all about my upcoming shows in the media, television, and the radio. So, welcome.
And Dr. Frieda, you've written a lot of interesting articles. This is Ryan, by the way. You've written some interesting articles. I love the article you wrote about this new generation. You said that, can you please just talk a little bit about the difference between your generation and the next few generations that have followed? Was there a certain trajectory of all these generations? And what makes your generation and like the millennials so different?
Well, first of all, they are going to be overpopulating the generation that I came from. They're going to be more humanitarian. The baby boomers, by the way, is where I came from. And they're going to also have a different insight into what the quality of life is. And it's not going to be about capitalism. It's going to be about being true to form, to what it is you feel you can do, make a difference, and enjoy. Hours will be different. Their hours will be scattered. And there won't be this divide between vacations and working habits as much. It'll be all integrated. You can be on the beach working on your whatever it is you're working on, your project, or you can be at home or wherever that is. It's really changed. So their way of thinking, even about wars, is more humanitarian as well, because they're seeing people getting together. They're seeing people talking together. After all, they do have all these advantages from the computers, and that they're working and connecting to people all over the world and in a very humane way. So these are some of the big changes that are occurring as we speak.
Okay. Do you feel that the millennials have the capability of changing the world, or as motivated as changing the world as your generation was, which seemed to have brought in a lot of great cultural changes like the 60s and the 70s? You had a lot of great things happening.
Well, we were more militant. We were more of having it all now, and we still are, and that's why a lot of us have over-budgeted and overspent and are in debt. Where with this generation, they don't really feel they're that entitled to everything. They don't need it. They don't fear 9/11 the way our generation does. They really think in a way that war is useless, nonsense. There are other ways to get around it. There are ways to be involved with each other. And when you're involved individually, then you don't really see a big difference. So we do have to make changes, of course, with the way people are taught educationally across the country about religious divide, political differences. And once these changes can be made and the right counseling can be across the board for everyone, wouldn't that be great? I think that's more of a direction, hopefully, we'll be going in our global society.
Going in there. Well, Dr. Frieda, you know, we have a very interesting guest on your program today. And this is something where if you're listening, you really want to pay attention, focus, because you could learn a couple pieces of advice from our next guest that could change your life. I'll introduce her. Her name is Miss Flora Shuley. She is a communication expert, she's a connected breathing expert as well. Ms. Shuley, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome to the program. And where can we learn more about you right off the bat?
Thanks for having me, Ryan. It's BreatheLifeNow.com is my website, BreatheLifeNow.com.
Thank you so
welcome
much.
To our show. Could I call you Flora? Is that how you pronounce your first name, Flora? What is it about breathing that makes such a difference? And I heard something very interesting, that you can analyze the way a person breathes. Can you do that while I'm on the phone with you?
Huh. I have never tried it while on the phone. For sure, if we were in person, I'm able to see where in your body you hold the tension and where the breath reaches and where it doesn't.
I'd like to try all kinds of things. Why not? Let's be the first to try something. And I won't hold you responsible. It'll all be my fault. How's that?
It never hurts to play, that's for sure.
It never hurts. You never know what you can get out of something unless you try it. So I just wanted to tell you about my breathing because I was analyzing it right before you came on, which is slow, and I take very deep breaths. Does that say something about a person, how quickly or slowly they breathe, and what does that mean?
Well, what I'm interested in is your inhales versus your exhales. When you tell me that, like that, obviously that would be calmer than somebody who breathes quickly and shallowly like a rabbit, right? You can say that person's more anxious than the slow breather. But I'd be interested in a little more information. So let me ask you, if you take a deep breath, I'm assuming that Ryan's not there in person with you. Is that right?
Oh,
yeah,
I'll,
Ryan
you know,
is
I'll
not
put,
in
I'll
person.
Put this, I will put my the microphone on mute. Okay.
No, what I meant
okay.
was I was going to ask him. I was going to ask you, Ryan, to say what you saw with her breathing. So that's. I wasn't asking you to put your microphone on mute. I was asking if you were able to see her. So do you have a mirror where you can see yourself?
No, I don't. I don't have the. No, I don't. I cannot see her.
That's fine. Okay, good.
But
so
I have to say
anyone?
That briefly. Yeah. Yeah.
So I can tell you that I can't. Go ahead. Did I start? Problems right now? Did I start trouble? I just wanted
okay,
to see.
So you're by yourself,
yeah.
right? There's nobody that can tell you how you're breathing visually, right?
How my breathing is visually. What would I look for?
All right. So take, let's just say 3 deep, conscious, connected breaths. Connecting the inhale to the exhale. In and out through the mouth. And not pausing after the inhale or the exhale. Now, feel yourself if your lower abdomen, if your belly is moving in and out with your breath. Don't report yet, just feel and assess. Is your rib cage moving in and out with your breath? Just to the front or also to the side? And back. And then finally, is your collarbone moving up and down with your breath? When you intend to breathe deep and conscious, connected, and full. Then I'd be assessing the length of the inhale as compared to the length of the exhale. So where you're breathing, the pace of your breathing, and then the pattern, if you will, of your breathing. And then I'd invite you to just deepen audibly, again, in and out through your mouth. Nasal breathing is good for a clear mind, but the mouth breathing gives me the assessment of your emotional field, which is what you're asking, right? Like, what does it tell you about me as a person, how I'm breathing?
Is this background noise, by the way, bothering you, this piano? Do you
I hear can
it
hear it.
Okay, it's bad.
I
it's
can
faint.
Hear it, but
okay.
it doesn't
good.
Bother
okay.
me.
Okay. Okay,
so
good.
One thing we can see is that the mental, right, and it's tough because you're on right now. This is your radio show, so you're holding space. You're accountable for several different things, the space of the call, your background noise. But you can be
right.
breathing slowly all you want, and your mind is all over the place. So it's not necessarily just the pattern of the breathing and the space of it. My guess is your belly's not moving in and out when you're breathing conscious and connected right now. And I'm just guessing, just from what I'm feeling and how you're responding, is that accurate?
Well, if you're asking me, that's true. I'm breathing in, holding my breath when I go all the way up to the last moment that right before I exhale, and then it's a shorter exhalation.
That's, right. So where I'd work with you, if you say, mm-hmm. let's do it if you want, instead of talking about it, working with you is learning to exhale deeper. Relax your shoulder. Open up your jaw. Let go of the game face a little bit more right here. So you can let your letting go be in balance with your drawing in.
Wow, what a difference that makes. I never experienced that before, I'm telling you.
And
this
it's
is amazing.
You could say your radio show, so, you know, you got your game face on, right? But there's something
yes.
about connecting to the intuitive wisdom that's available rather than the mental control that allows for the expansion of something.
I wonder when we... Yeah, that feels... So would you say that people do that usually when they're relaxed, or is it a special time? I know that I usually breathe the way I just explained to you. So does it take some kind of discipline to breathe the other way?
Practice, like with everything. But there isn't just... So the way that you just described to me, my guess would be that that's not how you usually do it. It might be at rest or when you feel like, okay, I'm holding space here in a call. Not my first show. I've got some sort of relaxed effort. And my guess would be that it's not habitual necessarily if there's any kind of stress. Like if somebody comes to you and says, are you married?
Yes.
If your husband says, oh my God, I think we just bounced a text, you probably wouldn't hold that same breathing.
That's probably what I do all the time anyway with him. So I have to learn... not so much what he says, but how I react. But that's a good lesson, too, because if you breathe the way you say, it'll really help how you respond to a situation, just the breath itself. Is that right? How you psychologically respond.
Yeah, so there's the situation itself, and then there's your habits of thinking and feeling over time. I used to be a lawyer, and for a while I was doing... You know, I shifted my practice from litigation to mediation, and I was doing the breath work at the same time. And finally, I put my law license on inactive because the breath was a miracle worker. If we shifted your breath pattern, if you practiced it in a few private sessions and we shifted your breath pattern habitually, that doesn't mean you wouldn't go to shallow, quick breathing when you were under stress. Nothing's going to prevent that. And in fact, you probably need shallow, quick breathing if you need an emergency to react to. It's appropriate. But you wouldn't hold there because we're changing the habit. And the other thing that happens is that not only your individual, like the response in an individual situation, but I've had people let go of money limitations, relationship or financial, or even health issues, like being able to release the stress around it so that the body can heal itself easier, that the relationship can heal or move on. Like, what it does is, with changing your breathing pattern over a couple of sessions, seriously, 3 or 4 private sessions, all of a sudden people are reporting different life circumstances because you're no longer the same you. Like, so we use the example with your husband. If I was able to, to help you gain access to the exhale, and I might even have you in particular sit on an exhale for 10 seconds after you think you have no more breath. In fact, do you want to play with me? You want to try it instead of me just talking
sure,
about it?
Sure, because I find that I'm quickly going back into my inhaling. The exhaling is not as long and as comfortable. I'll try it, but one quick question. What is the best breathing pattern? Is it equal in and out, inhaling and exhaling?
Well, I'll guide you through
it.
So I'll guide
okay.
you through it so you don't have to, there's nothing to figure out. There's not one best breathing pattern. Just take a couple of deep mouth breaths, and if you're comfortable with your listeners hearing, let yourself make an exhale, let yourself make some sound on the exhale.
Well, maybe my listeners will be doing the same thing at the same time. So
that's what
we
should be doing. This is great.
That would be.
Yeah.
Are you doing this, Ryan, too?
Yes, I'm actually.
You're
I'm working
us?
On my breathing right now. I'm participating. This is great participation
great.
Radio.
Just keep yourself awake with this.
So taking deep breath in, what I'm going to ask you guys to do is to focus on all three breath centers. So put a hand over your belly and a hand over your heart. And fill up your belly, fill up your heart, and then let it come all the way up into your shoulders and your clavicle. Like, just like that's some good shit, man. That's some good air, right? Like, this is the best drug you could ever breathe in, is all that oxygen, that life force, prana. Breathe it in and hold for 3 seconds. Let it circulate and kind of cleanse your cells. And on the exhale, I want you to exhale audibly through your mouth, wide open mouth. We'll clear your TMJ joint, your dame face, and just...
Interesting. I took I have more to take in than to take out.
Yes, that's why I'm asking you to put sound. Because sound moves energy. So you're holding when you're breathing. You're not letting go as much as you're taking in.
Yeah, because then you're too relaxed. I know. Then I need a vacation. I think about the beach right away.
So your exhale, imagine if your life could be the vacation, like just changing your breathing pattern will let you bring that same calm to your life. Let yourself
that could be
exhale
great.
Audibly. Let's hear it. In yoga, they call it lion's breath. Roar like a lion. You can even stick your tongue out. Just let it go. There. Long.
Feels unusual.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So when you're talking about best breathing, I'm talking to you about best breathing for you, like where you hold your energy
mm-hmm.
in your breath pattern is where you hold on in relationships and where you hold on in life. And for you, this bottom of the breath thing, I would have you sit there. So it looks like this. You take a deep breath in and then sound it out.
I'm afraid to do that because then I'll be too happy. I'll be too relaxed.
Keep going.
Then I'll fall asleep on everybody.
Keep
but
going. That's just mental fear. That's just mental thoughts. You keep going. And if I'm there holding you, it's easier. On Skype, it's a little easier. But we can do it even on the phone like this. I would assert that there's some resistance to trying it. And
I just
you're
did
under
it.
The gun
did,
here, right?
Yeah, that's true. But I did it. I did do it a couple times. I didn't make the noise, though. I don't want to scare anybody. But I did do it. And it did feel good. It was like a
relief. All right, let me describe what I was up to with you. The listeners can do it, too. And then you yourself can apply it later. So it could be like, I don't want to scare anybody. There's a lot of stuff happening here. There's 3 people on a phone call. There's people listening. Right? There's all these mental thoughts. So when you let go audibly, I asked for it audibly so I could hear you. So I could say, keep going, just release. So the body, the habitual pain body gripping has a habitual pain body way of breathing. And it says, breathe in more air, breathe in more life, take more in, don't let go so much, take in more. It's a breath pattern that says that there might be, no offense, there's no judgment here, but it might be a breath pattern associated with a consciousness of a little bit of lack. Like I need to hold more than I can let go, because if I let go too much, I'll be, quote, you know, and you said, you're joking, but too happy, too relaxed, I might want to, you know, I might lose my train of thought, I might not hold it together mentally, I might not be, but I started doing this breathing before going into jury trials, and it actually helped me succeed in the jury trials, or when I was leading transformational seminars for 100 people, the breath work helped me. So I didn't get stupider the more I breathed out this way, I'm telling you. I actually got clearer and more powerful.
Wonderful. I mean, that's very interesting. It's almost like taking a mini vacation because that's what I felt. Because you're right. I'm not letting go because I feel responsibilities. I feel like I have to continue to do this, to do that. My thought process is about doing. And when you're letting go, then you're able to even give more after that. So that's really interesting. Towards the end of the show, I'll be brave enough to make those sounds.
Well,
go back to that before.
You can call me, okay? You can call me when we're offline. We can finish it with you. But my point was, just for the listeners to understand, that the habitual holding, it like the nervous system says, no, I got to take a breath, I got to take a breath. And when the first time I ask some people, not all my clients, that's where their limitation is. Some people have a problem taking a deep breath that they can let go forever. Some people, it's not the inhale or the exhale, it's that their heart's locked, but their belly's wide open, or vice versa. So it's like I look for different things, or there's a gripping around their face, and you can see anger habitually held, anger and resentment held in the lines around the mouth. So, and we can, like, shift those. But for this one in particular, for you, the more you can relax on the exhale and try for a 30-second exhale, like we kind of did, like, almost a 30-second inhale, and then we let it circulate, like taking a bong hit of life, you know? Right? You were talking
about
right
before. Yeah, I did feel that.
Yes, because you've got all this energy in this life force, and now you want to be able to let go. And the nervous system says, no, I got to breathe, I got to breathe, I got to breathe. And I say, no, sweetheart, you can relax. Because you can exhale for a full minute. No mental shenanigans. There's no negative impact on the brain waves or the brain tissue from exhaling for a full minute. And you can exhale past where there's sound, past where it feels like you have air. And a lot of energy pops off of you. And sometimes people cry or laugh or sweat or they sneeze, right? That's all ways of moving energy. That happens at the very bottom of a breath, what some singers call the reserve energy down there where you can hold a note forever. You can exhale for like a good minute without any kind of physical damage. But your mind body goes, no, this chick is crazy, this floral lady. What is she doing? I got to breathe, I got to breathe. Screw her. And they gasp. And I say, no, 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 we're repatterning it that you breathe on your terms when you say so. Not always. You don't have to manage your breath all the time, but when we're in session, when we're doing something to repattern you, you say when your body breathes, not your unconscious fear.
Well, it's a great distraction also from stress, because when you're focusing on the way you're breathing, you push everything else away, and then something else becomes more important, and sometimes that helps to have objectivity as well. I can imagine that you're not just on top of issues all the time. But this is something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I can see that. And
absolutely.
So, Ryan,
and
have
you
been breathing? What?
Sorry, I was going to ask one more question, just because
when
I give something like this, I don't want to just send people out there just like they'll just like exhale for a minute, and then all of a sudden we don't leave them with the, like, what's happening is that after that, it's really important that you don't let the body-mind grasp or gasp for the next breath. So you get, like, really where you'd exhaled a long time and you're scared, and then you go, ah! And you gasp for your next breath, but you're repatterning fear. So it's really important that you take a calm breath. It's better to exhale for 10 seconds and take a calm breath than to exhale for 30 seconds and take a gasping unconscious breath, because we're repatterning trust.
That takes practice. I mean, it really is, it sounds great. I think
it
that
does.
This is really, it's really a way to de-stress before anything you're doing it, and it's a way of life for sure. But it's something that
it's
already
incredible.
Helped me. Yeah, isn't it? Did you try it, Ryan?
Yeah, I've been utilizing some of these breathing techniques, and you know what? First thing I noticed, I don't know if this is part of the product, I feel much more focused, and all these distractions are really gone. It's nice. It's really nice to just be in a very focused state.
Relaxed
state. Yeah, you also sound grounded, like more in your body, which will always give you much more wisdom to respond to life.
See that? So we can take many vacations without going away. And it's a great thing that you can do anytime you want to do it. So what would you recommend? What would you say people should do? Should they do this a couple times a day? Should they be aware of this? Should they just be unconscious about what they're doing and just let it happen in a relaxed manner after a while? So that's the question. Is this a conscious effort every time you take a breath?
Well, what I really recommend is that people find it's called conscious connected breathing. Find a practitioner and go in. It's not unlimited. It's not like, you know, I can talk about my issues forever, but the breath repatterning, it really is limited. It'll be no more than 10 or 12 private sessions, and you won't have any of those constrictions in your patterning, in your relationships, in your finances, money issues. All of a sudden money issues are an issue, but they don't need any more sessions. So it's not like you need it forever. But each session removes 3 or 4 layers of your kind of pain body onion. We're peeling layers off of there. So, like you said, it takes practice. So in the first couple lessons, we would teach you to not have the fears, the mental fears and the habitual holding and the anxiety or any kind of nervous system habit that you have. We would repattern that and send you to practice in between. So I really recommend the private sessions that people do. I also do it, and most conscious connected breath workers will do group, small group sessions where they and a couple others can facilitate people in a small group. You get the group energy. It's less expensive. It doesn't have to be costly. And it's, if you really prioritize freeing up old patterns of reacting and fear and limitation or lack, you really have this like desire to be free. I would really prioritize that first. Then, of course, anyone can do even just 2 minutes of conscious connected breathing every hour. Is valuable. You could reset for your next hour so you don't carry your last hour into the next hour. Once a week, anything's better. Most people never do connected breath work, so you do it one time, you're going to be better off than if you never did it. So
It's so true. And, they use the word meditation and be conscious of your breath. And sometimes that's very intimidating because people often don't feel they have the time to sit and away from their schedule. And here you're saying something that's very important. You don't have to take any time because you're breathing anyway. You have no choice. And it's just a matter of breathing differently. It's almost as if when you're training your voice, you learn how to breathe in a way that helps you to retain a certain sound. And this also helps you to be able to unwind, and when you unwind and you relax, that's when better decisions do come in because you're not subjective to them. So this is extremely helpful. What one word of wisdom would you give our listening audience?
Well, one thing that would be really easy is in a stressful situation, and it could be anything like you're in line at the bank and getting a little stressed, or if anybody waits in line at the bank anymore, maybe that's dating myself. But
I'm telling you, it goes quickly, our lifestyles. Tomorrow it's going to be something else. Who knows?
Exactly. So if you get stressed when you're taking that picture with your phone, uploading your check, deposit. No, but anywhere,
right.
Like you're in line or someone in your home or your environment gets angry, immediately we're in a stressful situation in our response mechanism, in our enteric nervous system, in the regular nervous system. So the one thing you can do anytime things get tense on a phone call, in your life, in your own inner being, is take one conscious deep breath, like I said, one deep breath, filling up your belly, your heart, your whole abdomen cavity, and just relaxing it. It doesn't have to be audible, like I was saying, lion's breath in yoga. It could be. You could let go of stress, and just growl it out. But it could be as simple as one exhale, and now you're better equipped, like you were just saying, to deal with the situation, with the phone call, with the relationship, with whatever's happening around you. And the other thing is you may not know that you're tense. If you notice that you're holding your breath, just take a deep breath and stop. It could be either way. You notice it's a stressful situation, take a breath. You notice you're not breathing, take a breath. It's a very simple way to return yourself to a deeper measure of presence and power and really joy.
And Florence, Dr. Frieda,
yeah.
I have to let you guys know that unfortunately we're just about out of time.
I was going to ask more questions. All right.
It just went by so fast.
Yes. So you want me to give my exhale for everyone to see how brave I am?
Yes.
My last exhale. I have to hold true to my word here. So one thing I learned before I give my exhale, which is very important, when my husband screams at me, I'll take that deep breath in and out, and then I'll have him take the same breath, and he won't have time to scream because we'll both be breathing instead. So that's a way of helping all relationships. Everybody just stops and breathes correctly. All right, here's my last breath of exhaling, and I'll try this.
Keep going. Pull in the diaphragm. You're safe. And then without the cheat little inhale, right? Like you're safe.
Thank you. I applaud you. That felt great.
Okay.
I'm ready to conquer the day.
And then the calm breath afterwards is what's the important thing. The calm inhale after you do that is the most important part.
Hey, we only have 20 seconds, so I'm going to give everyone the website plugs to learn more about Ms. Flora Shuley. Go to her website at breathelifenow.com. And to learn more about the lovely Ms. Dr. Frieda, please go to her website at drfrieda.com. We will return again next Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Everyone, thank you so much. It was a great
show. Thank you, Ryan. It was a great show. Thank you very much
for
being on our show. Our pleasure.
Thank you.
And Ryan, you're also lovely and great, by the way.
Well,
I want everyone to know that about you, because that's what makes me good. You, that's what's really helpful. So our pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dr. Frieda, and I really mean it. I wouldn't mind working with you if you want to.
Oh, I will let you know. See, that's, again, a time restraint. If I have time, I will let you know. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.